Hello and welcome to the Greg Fearon podcast with your host, Greg Fearon. And today I have the awesome Joe Keys, who is a natural chef. Me and Joe kind of met up through just kind of Facebook networking and we followed each other for a while. So I'm excited to have you on. So Joe, say hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on, Greg. It's great to finally see you and chat properly.
Yeah, I think we've had half a conversation before we started, right? So this is going to be a fun episode. So just tell the listeners what you do and how you arrived at what you do.
Okay, cool. So yeah, thanks for having me on. I am, as I say, Joe Keys, and as you introduced me, as a natural chef. I retrained as a natural chef after I'd had my three kids. I'm a mum of three. And I previously to that, I was worked in the city up in London doing marketing and business development. And then took some time out to have a family and then found a passion, I don't know where it originally came from, for sort of health and nutrition and fitness. As a child, I was absolutely not into any of all of that. In fact, I was probably the biggest in my peer group as a teenager and really struggled with my weight. I suffered from polycystic ovaries and it was all a bit of a nightmare in my teenage years. And grew bigger and bigger and bigger till my sort of early 20s. And then I moved to London and realized that everyone was into health and fitness. And so started really reluctantly getting into it and met my husband, who was a real gym bunny. My husband to be, it was at the time. And so found that I, you know, that was my motivation at the time, but it was never really my thing at all. And actually the sparking moment, the change for me came after I'd had all my children and all three of them had digestive issues as children, as babies.
Oh, wow.
I ended up a nutritional therapist with one of them who really struggled. And she started to make me realize that looking at our diet was really where I needed to start, and that it was kind of that light bulb moment. So health before to me was all about weight, without a shadow of a doubt. It was all about just staying on the scales at the right level and being able to get into whatever clothes I wanted to get into. That was all it was about. And it wasn't until literally that meeting with a nutritional therapist to help my daughter with her digestive problems, I went, oh, actually, this is all, you know, what I put in my body really does make a difference to everything, not just how much I weigh and how fat or skinny I am. And I think that was the light bulb moment. And I started looking into it. I thought we ate reasonably healthy as a family, but realized very quickly that we really didn't. There was a lot of processed food in there. There was a lot of sugar in there. There was a lot of gluten in there. And just the making a few changes that the nutritional therapist suggested for my daughter, we kind of all did because that was easy.
Yep.
And it was an amazing change. She was on medication, but my daughter came off medication within about 3 months, probably less than that. You know, changes started before that, but within 3 months, she was completely off all medication and never had a problem again. But it was also the change that it had on the rest of the family. You know, the moods, especially my younger son, who was really sensitive to sugar. It was remarkable, and that was really my light bulb moment to realise, and that's how it all started. And I realised that I had a passion for cooking because I had to get back in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And then after all the children had gone to school, my last one, he's now 10, my youngest is now 10, I decided to, and in fact I was inspired and pushed to do it by my then personal trainer, who you remind me of actually quite a lot, Greg. Very similar mentality to you. You know, he had a thirst for learning and stuff like that. We used to talk endlessly when we should have been training about, you know, nutrition and health. And he encouraged me to go and learn more. And I was planning to train as a full nutritional therapist. But at the time, my father was very poorly and I didn't have the mental capacity to be able to do that. So did the natural chef's course at the College of Naturopathic Medicine, which is kind of a combination of sort of the nutritional background behind food and health, combined with how to turn that into a decent meal. Because I think sometimes there is that that sort of gap for people of knowing, yeah, I kind of understand about the nutrition, but how do I actually cook that and put that on my plate and make that easy for me without it being a really complicated issue? So kind of that's how it all started, really, Greg. So a bit of a long, windy story, but that's how I came to be where I am now, and after training, set up my own business.
Awesome. So I've got so many questions now.
Oh, go on.
And I'm trying to work out where to start. So I guess the big one is, I think there's a real lack of skill on how to cook nowadays. My mum taught me, I don't know, whether that's just he old Jamaican parenting, you had to learn how to season, how to prepare food. But do you think that's a skill that you're seeing with clients that is lost?
Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, like you say, you know, in the Jamaican community and a lot of different communities, actually, you are taught by your parents. But certainly in my generation and in my culture, mum was a baker. You know, and we sort of in the 80s, 70s, late 70s, early 80s, you know, the processed food became so convenient, and it was all about convenience. And kind of jumped on that bandwagon, really. And that's, so I didn't really learn how to cook. I mean, please don't turn in your grave, mum. You know, you were a baker, not a cook. You know, there were certain things that would come out on the table every week, and we got stuck, you know, you get stuck in that rut, but processed food really kind of took over. And we weren't taught that, as maybe you were. So definitely most of my clients, and it's the confidence, they do know how to do it. And they do have, because it's not rocket science, but people think it is. Yeah. And it's that, it's giving people confidence in the kitchen and really just giving them the, so part of my business, one of the things that I do is run workshops called Simple Meals for Better Health. Mm-hmm. And it's called that because literally it is, it couldn't be simpler, but they are really tasty, delicious meals that are quick to either prepare in advance, which a lot of people need to be able to do, so it's just there, or grab it out of the freezer, or, you know, they're things that you really can turn around in 15-20 minutes. And it's just giving people those types of recipes, that because you, so many people say, oh, I open a recipe book and there's so many ingredients and it's too complicated. But if you can show them and get them to do that, you know, one of the great things about having been locked down and having to have moved everything on Zoom is to be able to do these Zoom cook-alongs which, you know, we never cooked along before. It was always a demonstration kind of thing. They demonstrated and they ate it. But now we can have a situation where they're cooking and then they, so once they've done it, they go, God, that's so easy. I will do that again and again and again. So it is giving people the, you know, the simple basic skills and, more importantly, the confidence to just give it a go. What's the worst that can happen?
I'm blaming MasterChef and all these programs, right? Because I think people see these programs and are like, oh, I need to be a Michelin star chef to be able to eat healthy.
Yeah.
And it couldn't be further from the truth, right?
Absolutely. So far from the truth. I think actually also the way that they edit some of those programs make it look a lot more difficult and a lot more fancy than actually those processes are. You know, blenders, you know, if you haven't got a blender, get a blender, because that's one of my favorite pieces of equipment. I blend up sauce, you know, the Indian community and some of my Indian friends will turn in their grave as well, you know, hearing me say this, but you know, the way that they traditionally cook, you don't have to do it like that. If that's not what you know, and that's not your skill, you can still get those same flavors from just blending those things together, or some of those things together in a Nutribullet, and you've got a fantastic curry sauce that everyone in the family will like, or a chili sauce, or a, you know, so you don't have to follow the rule book. You can still make delicious, quick and easy, healthy meals.
Yeah, without lots of ingredients. You don't need a recipe book that's this big.
No, you really don't. You really don't.
So yeah, something you mentioned earlier was then just about you know, your daughter wasn't very well, etc. And that's when you realized that health wasn't just body fat and scales, right?
Uh-huh.
So what's your kind of overall view on what health should be now?
Well, I really wish that everybody, that scales were thrown in the bin for 99% of the population, because I think that really causes a lot of, especially women, but probably also a lot of men secretly, a lot of anxiety around their body image and their body weight and how they perceive health. But for me, health is that full package of what you put in your body, because that affects everything.
Yep.
And is the foundation to everything, be it your mood, your energy, your ability to fight disease, you know, the list just goes on and on and on.
That, by the way, this is just me doing high five because I'm like, yes, preach.
It is. But on from that, you know, it's kind of those healthy, what I call healthy lifestyle habits. So you've got to move, whatever that means for you in whatever ability you have or whatever goal you want to achieve. Sleep is up there with nearly as most as important as what you put in your body. Mm-hmm. Self-care, you know, looking after yourself and being kind to yourself. And I mean, this is part of what you put in your body, but staying hydrated, drinking enough water and getting enough liquid in, because your body can't function properly without that. And I don't think many of us drink enough water and liquid. So that, you know, and it is that whole package. And that sounds really unachievable to many people. Mm. Because it's so many things. And what I try and teach is that what you've got to understand is that there is no quick fix. I'm going to be honest, you know, you can't go on a 6-week plan and have achieved good health at the end of it, wherever you started, because, you know, health is a journey. It's a path and it's ever changing. Even, you know, even for me, I'm never there. I'm never going to be there because my body's always changing. Life is always changing. What I need is always changing. You know, especially for women with the hormones, you know, a lot of my clients are of that age where they're heading towards or in menopause, perimenopausal and stuff, you know, so they need to, what used to work for them 10 years ago doesn't work anymore. Why not? They don't understand why. It's because you're not the same anymore. Your body's not the same anymore. What you do is not the same anymore. So you have to kind of really learn to listen to your own body and trust it and adapt to it as you know, as you're changing. And what was sorry, I've gone off on a little tangent. There.
tangent away.
But it is that learning. There is no quick fix, and it is a journey. And you have to take one small step at a time and be honest with yourself about what you want to focus on for the next 4 weeks or 6 weeks, and just start building small habits around each of those areas, be it, you know, sleep. Make a commitment to yourself and start building a habit of what your sleep should be. You know, and you know, everybody's different. Some people are night owls, some people aren't. You know, some people are I go to bed very, very early, I get up very, very early. Other people in my household are completely the opposite, but you have to work around that, you know, it's and work with what works for you and your lifestyle as well.
I'd argue though that some of that is learned habits, right? Because I feel like we've got this, actually no, I'm going to blame my parents, sorry mum and dad.
No, so- they're responsible for a lot.
Yeah, well, I think what happened was when we were younger and you were told to go to bed, it was almost seen as a punishment. So you'd end up staying up later, and then I'm a teenager, now I can stay up later. And then you just go totally the opposite way. Is that your kind of thought as well?
Yeah, I mean, the way you have been brought up and your learnt behaviour is massive, mm-hmm. absolutely massive. I mean, so yours is the going to bed, maybe. Mine is the clean plate. Clean plate brigade. I was brought up, you clean your plate. You do not, you don't get pudding, because we're a pudding family. You don't get pudding until your plate is clean.
Yep.
And I still do that. I cannot, however hard I try, sustain, I go through a phase where I'm going to leave something on my plate because I'm going to break this habit. I've tried it many times. It still doesn't work. So I've had to work around that. That is an ingrained habit I've given up trying to break. So now I use a smaller plate, and I make sure I put less on my plate to start with, and or I like to have my plate filled. So I fill it with a salad before I put anything else on it, you know. And then, so I've had to retrain myself to work with that habit. But so, you know, I mean, the other course that I run is called Menu and Mind, which brings all kind of these things together. I've teamed up with I'm no mind expert, so I've teamed up with a friend of mine who we've been friends for over 10 years, but she's trained as an NLP practitioner, so neuro-linguistic programming. And we work with people to try and get them to realize, you know, some of these learned behaviors and listen to how they talk to themselves and become, you know, there's kind of five areas we look at. Sort of first thing, which I mentioned earlier on to you before we came on recording, but sort of their core values is really understanding what your core values are and where they've come from and how they impact on what goals you're trying to set yourself and what you're trying to achieve. And then it's sort of setting those goals and making sure they're realistic, but also looking at becoming aware. That is the first thing to changing your habits. You can't change a habit unless you're aware of what you're doing. Yep. You know, and understanding where those, peeling back some of the onion layers of why you've got those habits, and are they changeable or yep. are they not changeable? And if they're not changeable, how are you going to adapt to work around that if you need to change, you know, if it's not fitting in line with your goals or your or what you're trying to achieve, really, you know. And then sort of the mental flexibility that you need to change habits. And the biggest one, I think, for a lot of people is responsibility. And it's, are you taking responsibility for what you're trying to achieve? I'm loving all the high-fiving going on there, Greg.
Listen, sorry, I hope it doesn't distract you too much. When I hear stuff that I know that people really need to absorb, yeah. and the 100% responsibility, I've been banging on to my clients about this lately, yeah. like literally, everything you do, you're responsible for. So I love that. Sorry, carry on. No, that's high-fiving, I distracted you.
But it is taking responsibility and getting people to become aware of the excuses that they use to not take responsibility. So I haven't got time. I've got fussy eaters in the house. You know, my husband works. We can't eat at that time. There is, I mean, hundreds of excuses that people will use that they think are excuses. It's just them not taking responsibility for what they're trying to achieve and what they want to do. And that's hard, you know, and we all do it. But it's becoming aware of doing it. And once you're aware of what you're doing and how, what you're telling yourself and how you're talking to yourself, it's then you can start to make progress. And they are your choices, like you say. And people need to take responsibility for them before they can move on.
Do you know, so there was something beautiful you were saying, though, about people's core values. And we were talking about this just before we came on. And for me, when clients come to work with me, that's the first thing I want to attack. I'm not worried about protein, calories, I'm not even worried about that. I want to know what's going on in here.
Yes.
So as part of your program, do you really push that element of it?
We make it an important part of it, but we don't push people to and we certainly don't sell that's what we do, because it scares people a little bit. I think this whole sort of mindset, sort of, there's still such a it's not counseling in any way, shape or form. It's just learning to understand who you are. you know, and I think certainly for me, you know, you get lost along the way somewhere, I think, with for me, it was, you know, you get on the rat race, you jump into work, and you follow what everybody else is doing. It's all about how much money you can earn. It's all about how hard you work, how many qualifications you've got, and you do. You know, and I didn't do a degree. I didn't. I quit my A levels halfway through them, and I wasn't from that same mould. But I went to London, and I did.
You rebel.
I know. But then I did. You know, when I was working up in London at a law firm in marketing, I felt I had to do the marketing qualifications and all that. So I did all that, just followed what I was supposed to do or what I felt I was supposed to do at the time. And then it's, you know, get married, have children, and you kind of lose who you are along the way a little bit. And it's not until the kids are a little bit older and you've got a bit more headspace that you can kind of try to reconnect with who you are and what you want, as opposed to sort of giving and doing what other people expect of you a lot of the time, I think. And again, that's, you know, like born out of habits that you're taught or you're brought up with, I think. And sometimes breaking those and learning what your core values are, again, that are yours, not ones that you've been told that you are. So that's another one for me, is that I'm a middle child. I wouldn't say I've got middle child syndrome, because my sister's sort of 10 years younger than me. But my brother was always good at everything. You know, he just the tiniest bit of effort, you know, be it sports, be it, you know, education, you know, whatever he did, whatever he set his mind to, he was brilliant at. Me, I had to work so hard to even just meet average at anything I did. And so, you know, those were the things that I kind of got brought up with, and I felt, but actually now I'm like, what was all that about? That was just me using an excuse, probably, and telling myself I wasn't good enough. I've gone through my life, you know, till sort of I was sort of late 40s, or well, I'm late 40s now, but sort of early 40s, you know, telling myself I wasn't good enough, so I couldn't do it. But I've learned now that that's not true, and I've, you know, come into my own sort of later in life, I would say.
You know what, you just reminded me of one of the things I always hear a lot is, oh, I've got a skinny friend and they eat so much, but they can't, well, I can't, they lose weight like that. But if I just look at a pizza, I put on weight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but do you follow them around every day? Like, do you live with them? So what are your, big misconceptions about nutrition do you see the most?
I think people still think that to be first of all, you know, around health and nutrition is still this, it's all about weight thing, and people are, you know, that's a big bugbear of mine. You know, you could eat lots and lots of healthy food, but you could still be on the larger side and overweight if you were an excessive amount of it. It is quite hard to eat an excessive amount of healthy food because of the way it works in your body. It's easier to eat an excessive amount of junk food because your body doesn't process it in the same way, and it's, you know, your body's still craving the nutrients that you're not giving it from eating junk food, as it were. So one of my biggest bugbears is, you know, people's correlation between weight and health. I think if you start to really change and eat healthy, unprocessed food and give your body the nutrients that it needs, it will find its own equilibrium of health and weight. That may not be the perception of the weight that you think you should be. For example, you know, when I was at my skinniest, I probably wasn't my healthiest at all. You know, I've gone from being, you know, sort of 11 stone or plus, probably, down to 7.5, not healthy in any of those. But, you know, finding and taking the time to let your body find its own equilibrium of health and weight, and accepting that that's what it should be, mm-hmm. is true health, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's awesome. Are there any other big myths that you see that just make you just want to go,
don't eat fat? That is a big myth. I mean, please eat good fat. Lots of it would be, you know, I think there are a lot of people out there who still think that they are not going to be, can't be healthy if they eat fat. There are certain fats you should avoid, in my opinion, but there are lots that you should eat. So let's wolf down those avocados and olive oils and coconut oil within reason. It's good healthy fats from fish and good quality meat, in my opinion, makes a good healthy rounded balanced diet. You know, not everyone eats, you know, I'm a plant-based chef, but I am not a vegetarian and I'm not a vegan. I love my fish and I love my meat, but I eat it in moderation. I'm a plant-based chef generally because I think that's where people struggle to become creative and know what to do with it, except boiling it and putting it on the side of your plate. Which is where people struggle to eat lots of vegetables, because eating lots like that is probably not the most inspiring thing to do. So stabilizing your blood sugars would be the one thing that I would encourage people to focus on, and doing that by having a balanced plate, eating low glycemic carbohydrates, not being scared of eating carbohydrates either, eating good healthy fats, and staying away as far as you can from processed foods, so eating unprocessed foods.
Yeah, I think I think you're right about vegetables in general. I think, again, it comes back down to childhood. Vegetables were always kind of plopped on your plate. I was like, yeah, that looks like fun, not.
Exactly, and usually probably overboiled and probably got not many nutrients left in them anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You get this green water, don't you? You're like,
oh. Yes, green water. No, you've just poured all the nutrients down the sink. Yeah, drink that water and probably leave the vegetables.
So, what's probably the biggest tip you would give someone who is completely lost, doesn't know where to start, is confused by the low carb, keto, no high fat, no paleo, calories, slimming world, Weight Watchers, lean in 30 days, whatever. What do you say to those people? Where do I start them?
I say stop looking at all those plans, stop looking at all those faddy diets, stop looking at trying to follow something that somebody else is telling you to do. You've got to be realistic with where you are to start with, and really evaluate what you're, if we're talking about food particularly, evaluate what you're eating at the moment, and do a food diary, do an honest food diary. Because if you ask someone to do a food diary, they start suddenly eating a lot of healthy food that they would never have eaten before. And two, if they don't do that, they don't actually write down everything that they've eaten. They only write down the good bits. So just do it for yourself, write an honest food diary.
Yep.
And then for at least 7 days, and start to look at where you think you could make small changes. So the things you want to be focusing on first, as I mentioned earlier on, is hydration. First of all, start drinking lots more water. Secondly, look at how many coloured vegetables you're eating, and fruits, obviously, but particularly vegetables. Could you add in some more? Could you find some more variety? So this kind of goes towards, you know, how you build your plate. So that's how I would get people to really focus on looking at how they can change their food diary, is how they build their plate. So look at your plate as you build it, for dinner, for example. Don't think become aware of how you think about what you put on your plate. So if you think about what you're having for dinner, do you say, oh, I'm going to have fish and the side of this, this and this? Think about it the other way around. So first of all, the first thing you put on your plate is raw leafy greens or you know, some kind of salad-y type thing. Fill up your plate as much as you like with that, you know, and then think about what quality protein you're going to put on there, and then where is the fat going to come from? So if you've got a fatty fish, an oily fish, or you're going to put some avocado, or you're going to have an oily dressing or sauce. So thinking about how you build your plate, just to really start to trigger some things. And it's amazing how quickly people suddenly go, oh yeah, oh well that's easy, well I'll just swap that for that. And it is about small swaps. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, one of the things that we give our people on the Menu and My course that we do, is that they get these lists of swaps. So if you're starting from a point of, you know, what you have for breakfast is, you know, a bowl of Cheerios, a piece of white toast and a glass of orange juice, you know, what could we change? You know, and you take them across, better, even better, really great, you know. So just making those very, and people start, they find out where they are on the chart and they go, okay, so all I've got to do is swap that orange juice for water or a green smoothie. That's the first thing I've got to do. Okay, next week I'm going to change the Cheerios to oats, or, you know, it's those small swaps.
Awesome. And yeah, see, every time you speak, you just make me so many things, and I'm like,
sorry, yeah, I go off on a wormhole, don't I?
No, not at all. No, I love these discussions, because I think people need to hear how we think and
yeah,
what really needs to happen. So something we talked about just before, you know, we recorded again, was people do need to understand, though, that their goals that they think they have or think that they want don't necessarily align with the person and the values that they are.
Absolutely.
Because I often get people who go, oh, Greg, I want to get really super lean. And I'm looking at a situation going, okay, well, actually, you're probably 20, 30, 40 pounds away from being healthier.
Yeah.
To get lean is a total mind shift. You have to do certain things. So you were talking in about people earlier before we jumped on, just can we recover that bit, because I think that's something people need to hear.
Yeah, it is. So people will come and have a goal, like you say, that they want to be, they have this image in their head of what they want to be. And they've been striving for this for years, you know, and they've yo-yo dieted and they've just got worse, because, you know, they feel that they failed, and they talk to themselves in a way of, you know, if they don't achieve, you know, if they're looking at, I'm going back to these scales again, you know, they jump on the scales and if it's 1 pound up, you know, overnight, that, you know, the whole world's going to fall apart and they're going to eat salad for the next 3 days so that, you know, they can get that 1 pound off. But what, you know, so what we do is we take them back and ask them to look at their core values and what those mean to them. And, you know, one of the examples is, you know, if their core values is around food, for example, if socializing and family time is all around food and eating together and eating the same things, them trying to change their diet to something that stops them being able to do that, or socializing, you know, is all around food and going out, you know, and they eat out 3 times a week because that's what that's one of their core values is family time and socializing around food. And that makes them feel safe and comfortable and, you know, and loved and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those things are all mixed up in them trying to change fundamentals within the way that they eat and how they eat. And they just don't align. And that's why they've always struggled, and they've gone on and off and on and off, because they can't pull themselves away from that core value. And you shouldn't, you know, that is your core value, of being, you know, being with the family, and it just brings that, you know, that social element to it, and the, you know, the love and the care and all that, that's all wound up in all that. And you can't move people away from that. You can't detach that. So you have to learn to work around it. And how so, but, and so going out is a treat, you know, so, and because going out is a treat, then we have to have three courses, and we have to indulge in all the stuff that we wouldn't eat at home.
Mm.
Well, no, you don't. So you can still go out and you can still socialize and you can still enjoy that time with your family or friends or whatever it is, if you know, and eat with them. But just change what you're eating. You don't, it's changing that mentality that going out is a treat, which when we were, you know, when I was a kid, it was a treat. We went out to a restaurant once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
So you did, you treated yourself and you had the Knickerbocker glory for pudding every time you went out, and you had deep fried camembert to start with and chips and whatever, because that was once in a blue moon. Now people, well, before lockdown anyway, people go out and eat two or three times a week.
Yeah, four times a week plus two takeaways.
Exactly. Exactly. Takeaway. Gosh, what's that? and you know, and if you follow your sort of inbuilt habit or core value, as it were, to have this comfort around, you know, socializing and it being a treat and all that, if you're only doing it once a month, that's fine. But if you end up doing it two or three times a week, you really need to change what you're choosing.
Yes.
And one of the tricks and tips I tell people is to don't go to the restaurant until you've chosen what you're going to eat. Don't leave.
Yeah.
You can choose what you're having before you go. You download their menu or you call them up and ask them to send it to you if they haven't got it up to date online. And you choose before you go, when you're in a safe space where you're not being pressurized to make a decision. You haven't had a couple of drinks and you can make a good decision before. And when you get to the restaurant, don't even look at the menu.
And again, that comes down to accepting that 100% responsibility.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's funny, you know, just listening to you talk, and obviously I hear a lot of ladies go, well, I'm going to go to the gym five times a week. I'm going to train for an hour, Greg. I want that body. And I'm like, but you're, from what I've seen of your whole life, what you've told me, it doesn't quite match. So actually what you're saying is that sometimes this goal isn't the real goal. The other goal is something else.
Yeah, absolutely. And we get that all the time. People come on the course and they think they're coming for, well, mostly weight loss. And you start and you go, yeah, okay, yeah, yep, yep. And we start, you know, week one, we do core values. Week two, we do goal setting. Week three, we do taking responsibility. And oh, so no, it's not about weight loss at all, is it really? It's about getting organized, setting boundaries, you know, and it's not necessarily about what they look like at all. It's about everything else that's going on in their life.
And then by that happening, by doing all of these things, all of a sudden their body starts to change.
Absolutely.
And they're like, oh.
And yeah, yes, exactly. And they didn't realize that actually if they just wrote a diary or a journal or got organized in that area of life, that area of life just falls into place. So it is a path, it is a journey, it's going to be ever changing. And until you can accept that there is no one size fits all, that it's no quick fix, and that you have to take responsibility for what you want to achieve and how you're going to achieve it. There is loads of really, really good people, you included, Greg, around to support you and take you through that journey. But it is your responsibility, and you almost certainly have all the resources that you need. We can give you extra skills, we can give you extra expertise and guidance, but you've got it all. You know, it's all within you, and you can do it, really, is what you need, you know, what all the clients need to learn. Yeah.
Perfect. That's a perfect way to just
bring it together.
That was beautiful. So Where can people find you, and just tell me a little bit about more about your Mind and Menu course?
Yeah, thank you. So my business is called Time to Nourish, and within Time to Nourish, I kind of do two things. I've got my one-off workshops, which are called Simple Meals for Better Health, which really is sort of a nutritional cooking workshop. But the other side, I'm incredibly passionate about, is my sort of longer term menu and mind, which I teamed up with my NLP practitioner friend. And that's a 5-week course, which now is all online. Our next one is starting on the 6th of January, and we do have a couple of spaces left. We keep the groups really small, so it can be quite intimate and sort of personalized. And then we have a membership group for anyone who's been on the course. We have a membership group of thriving, all ladies actually at the moment, but we're not against having a men join us.
Yep.
And so you can find me at, find out about Menu and Mind at www.menuandmind.co.uk, and that's and A-N-D. Mm-hmm. But my main business website is www.timetonourish.co.uk.
Yeah, awesome. Too many words. So
whether it's .com now, is it? What is it?
Yeah, .com. Oh, it's right. We'll find it. I'll make sure it's in the show.
You'll find it. Yeah, and I'm on Instagram and Facebook as well. So yeah, lots of recipes on my website.
And LinkedIn as well.
And LinkedIn, yeah. I'm not so good at LinkedIn. I'm trying to get back into it.
Don't worry, I'm the same. I'm like, oh, I've really got to post on LinkedIn today.
I know, there's so many platforms, isn't there? I just love sharing my knowledge. And it's really about the passion for sort of inspiring and empowering people back to health. And for me, it's through food and being able to just really encourage people that they've got everything that they need, and they can do it once they, you know, take responsibility. And it's not a quick fix.
No, hell no. Awesome. No. So my final question.
Yeah.
Your top 4 tips that people can take away from this show that they can go, oh yeah, Joe said that. What would they be?
Wow. Oh gosh, this, just 4?
Just 4.
Yeah, so I suppose it would be to build healthy habits, really. And those healthy habits need to be around what you eat. And that needs to include lots of greens. Mm-hmm. Have a green smoothie every day if you want a top tip on the food side of things. Yeah. Have a green smoothie every day. Sleep. Get some good sleep. Make sure you're getting enough sleep. Mm-hmm. Quality sleep. Move, obviously. Get whatever exercise you can. It doesn't have to be HIIT workouts. It can be walking. It can be yoga. It can do something, though. Don't sit on the sofa and go, I can't be bothered. Just go outside, get some fresh air and do something. Yeah. And be kind to yourself. Listen to what you say to yourself. You know, that inner chimp there. Mm-hmm. Listen and become aware of what you say to yourself and start talking to yourself kindly. So those are my 4 top tips.
Awesome. I know that you could do about 50 million more.
I could do 5 on each one of those 4.
I know you could, don't worry.
But it's just, you know, it's the whole package. Yeah. And you've got to make healthy habits in those 4 areas. You know, and if you need help in any of those areas, Greg is very good at giving you top tips.
And yourself. And they come and see you, definitely. Awesome. Well, thank you very much. And to anyone, brilliant. Go and stalk Joe on all of the platforms, on the website. You'll get some amazing information. And thank you for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me, Greg. It's been great. I knew we would just talk and talk and talk. We could probably go on for another 2 hours.
Well, do you know what? I'm more than open to having you back on, you know, later date.
Yeah, it would be good to have Anya, the NLP practitioner, on as well. And she can really take you down that hole of the mind side of stuff.
Oh, do you know what? Because I love that stuff. I really geek out on that stuff. Like, forget training and nutrition. I'm like, I want to know about the head stuff. So
Yeah. Well, the next one we'll do about head stuff and training, because I'd love to hear you talking about training as well.
This is going to be
fun. Have a fabulous Christmas.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll do. You too. And anyone listening, just make sure you subscribe, give us a 5-star rating on Apple, and share this with the world.
Talk to you. Thanks, Greg. Bye.